We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
We want to welcome you to Wednesday Live. We're going to be right back after a piece of this song. We have a guest we're connecting online with. Looking forward to seeing exactly what God has for us today. So keep your dial set right here at 89.9. All right, what a great song. Rejoicing, dancing, praising, celebrating until the Lord returns for his church. That's what that song was all about. And that was by C.C. Winans. What a great song, Karen. That was great. Did you plug that in there
I
on purpose?
That. Yeah. No. Well, it was in the...
It was in the setup for today, in the log for today. Great, great, great. Well, we want to welcome a good friend that we have that is with us this morning, I believe, on air. And let's welcome Philip Buttram with us from the Gospel Track Society. Are you with us?
Praise God. I am. Good morning. This morning, I am fulfilling the call of all mankind to know God and make God known.
Wow. I like that. I think you've said that before, to know God and make God known. Absolutely. Well, we have had you on before, and we really feel like you're part of our family here, Philip, and you have some exciting news, I know, to tell us. A great date on the calendar. I think there's a celebration for an anniversary that's come up and a bunch of other things. But just as a starter for people who have not seen a gospel track in a while, or maybe don't even know what that is, or maybe they do, but they've never heard of Gospel Track Society, tell us a little bit about the ministry, who you are, and how all this got started.
I'd be glad to do that. But before that, Brother Jonathan, I have a declaration.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I want to praise the Lord this morning because this is the day that He has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am the strong, not the weak. I am the saved, not the lost. I am the healed and not the sick. I am free and not bound. I am a child of my Heavenly Father. I am the bride waiting for my Father to tell Jesus, "Son, bring my children home." 2026 could be, probably is, the year we are called home. I praise God this morning for a legacy that goes back to, well, beyond my father. But my father started the ministry in 1926. This is our 100th year anniversary. And I praise God for His calling, for His mercy, and His grace. We are a faith-based ministry, a family ministry. Faith-based means that we don't sell our gospel tracts. We are supported solely by the donations and gifts of God's children. We have over 900 gospel tracts in print, activity books, and children's books. A tract. What is a tract? A tract is maybe a mini message, a testimony, always contains the Word of God. It is short, attractive. It is intended to deliver a message of salvation, a message of encouragement, of hope, maybe a little bit of teaching. It is simple, easy to read. We strive to have all our material readable by someone who maybe has a second language as English, maybe has not gone past the 10th grade, maybe just a child. But God has given us messages that have led to salvation, has led to people knowing and finding Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's our main goal. Most of our tracts are salvation tracts, but we have many more. We always include the salvation tract of Romans 10:9. With that simple message, a person being drawn by the Holy Spirit, seeking God, can find salvation, can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All we do is print these little messages. We are a publisher. We are writers. God has blessed us over the years. We have been blessed countless times. We have printed millions and millions and millions of tracts. I have no way of knowing how many. But we are a 501(c) nonprofit organization here to minister to people, to present and publish tracts that they can use in their own harvest field. We print the tracts, but it takes someone in a worker led by the Holy Spirit to take a gospel tract and give it to a friend, a neighbor, a fellow co-worker, a person on the street, to sow the seed of God. Once the seed of God is sown, and it's sown with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will not come back void.
Praise God. I'm looking at, this is your 100th anniversary?
Yes.
100 years. So what is different today than in the beginning? Obviously quantity for sure.
Well, are we talking worldwide or ministry?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, that you had vision when you started. It sounds like you're still hammering away right on track with what God's given you. I know there's some new things you're at work in as well.
I tell you, again, back to the legacy of my father and God calling him to the ministry in 26. God gave Dad two mandates: to never charge for his word and never burden his word down with the doctrine of men, meaning make it Bible-based. In that sense, nothing has changed in the ministry. Mechanically, physically, what has changed? Dad started printing tracks back in a horse stall in the barn on a hand-fed single press. And now we have a digital machine that prints. Even I have presses here in the factory that are ink presses with the offset plates, and they're even outdated. Now, I tell you the truth, I've got two presses that I can't find anybody to operate them. The technology has changed so much. But as it has changed, God has provided a tool for us that allows us to print colorful, bright gospel tracks nonstop, basically. And with that, he has made it affordable. He's God's provided. You know, this ministry is 100 years old. We owe no man nothing.
That's awesome.
God pays our bills and keeps us strong. You know, keeps the staff. I got, you know, staff. I've got basically all the whole nation, gal in Indiana, gal in Texas to work for us, four staff here. Mechanics of the ministry has not changed. The message of the gospel has not changed. The world is changing. Everything around us is changing. But the solid thing that is true and not changing is God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And as long as we present his message pure, clean, unadulterated, then the Holy Spirit will move, the Holy Spirit will draw. We are to be ministers of his word to people that we know we don't know. Okay, so the ministry has not changed. Electronics have changed. We had a gentleman, I think I've talked about this last time, that said that because there's so much screen time and electronics, that the printed page paper is out of date, is obsolete. And it's just the opposite. Because with the screen time, with computers and cell phones and tablets and all this stuff, you push a button, it's deleted, you can change, walk away, turn it off, it's gone. But a piece of paper that has the word of God on it is there. It will be there when God is able to talk the person into reading it. Sometimes it's days, months, weeks, even years. We've had testimonies where people have picked up a tract they received years ago, and the message is still there. The power of the Holy Spirit is still there. Salvation is still there waiting. So gospel tracts, I think, are more relevant today than they ever have been before. Unfortunately, I don't think the church sees it. I think the large majority of the church and pastors are asleep to the fact they wouldn't be on the bandwagon of the newest, greatest thing. Well, I'm on the bandwagon for Jesus. Whatever it takes to win a soul to the Lord, to further his kingdom, to make God known, praise God, that's what I'm going to do. So we are still writing material. We're still writing tracks. I put maybe one or two tracks a week on our webpage. We do use technology. We have the webpage. We have something new we started. We've started a video site on YouTube where we're taking our tracks and making videos of them, especially for kids. We started before Halloween and did some Thanksgiving and some Christmas material on it. So we want to reach the kids if they're digitally, if they're on their tablets or their phones and watching something, we want to reach them.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. That is so needed. I did go on your webpage and was looking at that, and you have, I can see you're developing a video. You definitely have things for kids to pull up and be able to receive from. So for our listeners today, Philip, we have a lot of people that are listening, and you mentioned that that maybe pastors and church leaders do not recognize the significance of the written word today as they did at one time. I believe you're right, and I believe that because I know that years ago, I couldn't go in a restaurant without finding a tract. I couldn't go in a gas station like a men's room without finding a tract sitting up on a, you know, maybe a paper towel dispenser or something like that. Today, it's very rare that I find a tract anywhere. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think there's several factors. One might ask, why doesn't someone testify or witness to a friend or a neighbor? A lot of people don't like to be intimidated. They're afraid that there's going to be a confrontational situation.
Okay,
developed.
You're right.
But what I've heard that, like you talk about going to the restaurant, how many people will leave a tip? And there's a group of people that will leave a tip within a gospel tract. And so it's not a cheap tip. It's something that's generous. We'll give the person's attention. People, and there are laws. People say, you know, you cannot distribute, you cannot, you know, put these tracts on grocery stores or leave them here or there. It's a violation of, you know, littering or whatever. But there are still ways that a person can witness. I always tell people, you know, don't leave home without gospel tracts, because you never know. I mean, if you're serious about being a Christian, if you're serious about making God known, you're going to be prepared. When a person goes to a store, they take their driver's license, they make sure the car has gas, they probably got some money, so they are preparing themselves to buy something at the store. If somebody is serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will prepare themselves and look for the opportunity to witness of his grace, his glory, his mercy, his compassion, his love. They're going to be mentally ready, prayed up, and they're going to carry, in my opinion, they're going to carry a gospel tract or tracts with them of different flavors and varieties and topics. When I go to get a haircut or a doctor's office, go to the office for taxes, a place where I'm going to be around other people, particularly if they're going to be children, I will carry something for a child, an activity book, a coloring book, a gospel tract that's for children. And if there's a child there and they're probably restless and acting up, and mom, dad is, you know, ready to slap them or put them down or take them home, I'll go up to the parent and ask, is it okay if I give your child this little booklet? Anything to keep Bubba quiet. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Good point.
Here's a seed planted. The little child will look at it, will play with it, will color it, whatever. Our hope and our prayer is that maybe they will go to, Dad, what does this mean? Mom, what are they doing? And get the parents involved in the gospel. To sow the seed where the soil is good, where it can grow. And I think that whether you go to a gas station, whether you go to a grocery store, down the street, any place, there will be an opportunity to witness of Jesus Christ to somebody. You may have an opportunity to tell of your witness, your story. You need to be prepared to even pray with somebody if you detect that there's a need. Not pushy, not overbearing. The Holy Spirit is not offensive. He's love. And people will sense love. Some will say no, but the majority of people will accept what you have to offer, whether it's in the Word or a gospel tract. I think I mentioned before, I carry with me in my console, in my car, in my truck, two gospel tracts and a $5 bill, paper clipped together. And when I'm at an intersection, and there's a beggar, a homeless person, I'll stick my hand out the window, showing the $5 bill. Make sure they can see the $5 bill. And man, they'll come run across lanes of traffic to snag a $5 bill. Bam! The seed is planted. That's all I have to do. Plant the seed. The Holy Spirit will take the rain. He will do the rest. The Holy Spirit will draw unto them. The Holy Spirit will minister to them. But I've got to plant the seed. We have to plant the seed. If someone says, no, I don't want it, fine. God bless you anyway. I'll go on. But most times, I would say 9 out of 10 times, people will accept what you give them when you give them love. We have a friend that, you know, she'll have a poem track or a song track or a good news message, and she will tailor her response to that track by saying, would you like a poem? You know, give something, you know, a smiling face. We're shy. We're afraid we'll be criticized. We don't want to be embarrassed. And a lot of times, people don't think that they are worthy of a conversation. They don't want to embarrass God. They're afraid they're not going to say the wrong thing. They're afraid they're not going to say anything. Okay, fear. Where does that come from? We know where the fear comes from. Anytime the enemy can use a fear to stop playing the Word of God, stop planting seeds, to stop our testimony, then he has won. I do not want to stand before Jesus Christ and have him say, well, Phil, yeah, you didn't talk to Billy that, you know, when I gave a chance. Well, Phil, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I want my Savior to say, son, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. So when I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit to talk to somebody, whether they're strangers, whether I stop on the street or whatever, I'm going to do it because that's my accountability. God expects us to be ready, as Paul said, in season and out of season to minister. And gospel tracts are such a non-intrusive, non-invasive way of ministering the Word of God.
So the Gospel Tract Society is definitely an evangelistic, it's an evangelistic arm of the church and of ministry. And over the years, my family, we have given out thousands of tracts, and I'm sure heaven's where the accounting's being done. But I know as I'm looking at this, you have online that you're just developing now. Where are you with that? So you have some things for kids online. How do they get there to that webpage? How could people find you online at this point?
Well, again, we have our own YouTube channel. And my computer gal in Texas is using social media, the different platforms, to put in like a plug or a link or commercial where if someone searches for whatever topic, pumpkins, trick-or-treating, Christmas gift, New Year's, we are going to be in that list of IP addresses that's going to pop up. And it's once you see the CN link, it goes through the tract. We're putting our comic books on digital videos. So it's basically is a search program where they're looking for something else, and we kind of dovetail in on their search and, you know, get our foot in the door. We have three people that are working on videos and another lady that will probably work on our videos. It takes a good amount of effort to do the videos, but it's worth it. The exciting thing is the program that we have a subscription to allows us to change the language to any language in the world. My goal is to have, let's say, our most popular items, particularly like the comic book, the Amazing Gospel comic book, put into languages that I can't even pronounce the language, but it will go out to the world. If someone is searching for something, it will pop up, and the message will go out with the animated comic, and Jesus will get the glory. it's a tedious process. It's a time consuming process, but we're pushing the cart and pulling the cart at the same time, as fast as we can, while maintaining our other tasks and jobs. But it is exciting to think that, okay, this tract or this comic book can go to Europe, can go to Asia, to South Africa, to go to any place without us having to be there, but the Word of God being there
in their language. That's great. Now, what about specialty tracts? You're talking about children. My wife, I think within the last couple of weeks, had someone from the Jehovah Witnesses come to our door, and she did not have a handout. I believe you have some specialty tracts that can be used for witness like that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I would really consider all of our tracts specialty tracts, because they talk about Jesus. But we have, well, like I mentioned in the email to you last week, we have four new tracts that were written by astronauts. Okay. There is a keen awareness of all ages of the space station and the desire to go to the moon and to Mars, and it's always in the news. During the week, you'll find something in the news about astronauts and NASA. Well, I've got four tracks that are good for any reading if they're interested in the space travel. They're all pointed. They're all men of God. These three astronauts are retired, but they're all pastors now. There's something about traveling in space has awakens the spirit to, like, okay, how's that globe really hanging there? And there's a yearning to find out more about it, or a desire to get closer to God. And so that's what these tracks. So there's all kinds of niches. Easter, we have Easter's coming up in a couple of months, and it is the most church attended holiday of the year. And most churches don't, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, don't take full opportunity of this quote unquote holiday to draw people into the church, to draw people into the Lord. I know several people that will, I've got in front of me probably 15, 18 gospel tracts that deal with Easter. Some are for children. Some are, one was kind of comical, still the Word of God. I think God has a sense of humor. But when people are drawn to church, particularly Easter, and the way to get them into church, I'll start to say early, I know people that will take you to gospel tracts, and they will go door to door in their neighborhood or a radius around their church, pitching both the church and Jesus, and they will leave a gospel tract. Okay, we have opportunities, and whether it's talking to someone who comes to our door, or whether they go to their door, to leave with them a simple, easy to read gospel tract that talks about God, His love, His mercy, His grace, His salvation. We're obligated to carry a tract with us for that purpose. And Easter is such a beautiful season. And then Pentecost, another holiday, Jewish holiday. There are so many opportunities that we have, basically that we ignore, to give a tract to a person, to a child, to an elderly person, to a person in the hospital, even to a person on their deathbed. We can give something that will minister to them, draw them to the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And when we're held accountable, we say, yeah, I did that. I gave that to so-and-so. We just have to be equipped with the tools. We have to have a desire to serve Jesus. We have to be prepared to serve Jesus mentally, physically, with the tracks, and take every opportunity to look for an opportunity to go before someone and leave them a message, a gospel tract.
So again, do you have tracts that are specifically targeted, like toward a lot of the occults and cults that are in the nation? I know the gospel's there, but do you have anything specifically that could be maybe targeted toward Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Hindus or Muslims? Do you have some of those?
We do have a couple, but I think we've stayed away from something that's going to be confrontational. If you present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the simple love, the simple message of salvation, then the Holy Spirit will take over. You know, someone will reject it, particularly the people that come to your door. They have been, I won't say brainwashed, but in a sense brainwashed and programmed to combat anything that comes against them. You know, if someone comes to the door and you have to, you know, to pray with them, they will have a comeback where, no, you don't pray for me because, you know, we're not serving the same God. So I think the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks for itself. Anything that we have in the way of another religion or doctrine is, I think, more of a teaching for the Christian to say, you know, we're not braggadocious. We're not confronting a person. We're not challenging them. We're going to love them. We're going to love them in Jesus. And I think there's a lot of ways to do that through a gospel tract, not something that says, you know, you're wrong, I'm right, nah, 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 nah. No, that's not that's not in love. But you can show the love even though you're refusing their message. If you have the love in your heart and you're led by the Holy Spirit. So there are so many tracks that a person needs to find a message that fits their style, fits their life walk, that they can relate to. It makes it easier to talk to somebody when you're talking about, you know, something that you're comfortable with, instead of just out of the cold. And you're not going to reach everybody, particularly those that are aimed and focused at winning you to their religion. More often, the guy in the motorcycle, the person at the gas pump, the lady in the store, kids in the street, they're going to be more receptive to the word of God when you get in love. You know, if you go up to a preacher of church XYZ of another denomination and try to convince him that he's wrong, what are you going to do? You're going to make an enemy. That's not godly. That's not Jesus. That's not love.
How can people find out what is available? What is the web address for that, Philip?
It's really simple. Our web address is just our name, Gospel Tract. That's TRACT Society.org. Our webpage is you can review a tract, read it from front to back. You can send a prayer request, order tracts, make a donation, send us an email message. Our email address is gospeltractsociety@gmail.com. Either way is simple and easy to contact us. We will provide samples. If someone says, you know, I do jail ministry or I do hospital ministry, children's ministry, you know, ask for a sample of children's tracts, jail ministry tracts. It would be our blessing to send a sample out, you know, no charge, the same day. You know, God has given us the ability and the blessing to get orders out the same day, which is really astounding in today's world. The post office may not deliver it, you know, that quick, but we will get it out that quick because we want to get the seeds in the hands of the sowers, the workers of the field. So there's you can look at the webpage and search by category, or just, you know, look at, you know, go down the list one by one. It's all there to review and order gospeltractsociety.org.
It's great to have you with us today, Philip. Karen is in studio with us today. Karen, any questions for Philip?
Well, it was just you were talking about the YouTube channel. What is that YouTube address? I'd like to check that out.
YouTube channel. If you go to the web and you search YouTube or even just search our name, Gospel Tract Site, give you the option of clicking on YouTube, and you can review the videos that we have on there. Like I say, we're trying to add, you know, a video or two a week. It's been like kind of rough over the holidays, getting some things done, but that's our goal, is to put more messages on there. We have some of the poem tracks are put into a song, you know, a beautiful voice singing. So we're constantly adding new material. You know, we want to reach the person who does not know Gospel Tract Society, who will never hear Across Our Path, but they're on the screen, they're on the cell phone, whatever, and that's how they can be reached. Get the message of God, of Jesus Christ, through a video. So just, you know, search the Gospel Tract Society, click on the YouTube link. It'll take you to our channel and see what we got listed there. Just click on it. If you like it, forward on to the next person, send it to somebody else. And these are tastefully done. You know, we put a lot of time and thought and energy into doing them. So it's just not sending out the masses. It's preparing a message to reach somebody. A person told me, he said, well, they're concerned that they'll stop ordering tracks if they watch the videos. The people who watch the videos will never order the tracks because they don't know who we are. Mm. So we're sowing seeds basically to the wind and let the wind carry the videos.
Amen. Let the Holy Spirit get it where it needs to go, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we are out of time for this portion of the program. Philip, I'd like to invite you just to pray over our family that is a very large family here in Florida, and pray that, you know, I'm prayerful that this will be a year of greater harvest, and a great tool to put into our hands is the Word of God that we can get to other people. So I pray that there will be an awakening from leadership, pastoral leadership, small groups, home groups, men's fellowships, ladies groups, prayer groups, youth groups. There are so many different areas in ministry to children that can be increased this year, and we can be partners together. So if you would just lead us in a closing prayer.
Amen. Praise God. Father, Lord, I worship you this morning. Lord, I thank you for all that you've given us, strength, salvation, walk of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask that you would bless the ministry of WCNO, the staff, that you would keep them healthy, you would keep them strong, you would renew their spirit, Father, in you.
Amen.
Father, give them the boldness and the ideas and the leading, the unction to follow you, to reach new people, Father, to reach the Word. Father, I ask that you would minister to everyone listening to the radio, that they would feel and sense the essence, the burden of time that is upon us. That time is so short that the world is crumbling. The world doesn't know what to do. The world is full of anger and hate. Father, draw them unto you. Father, give your workers power. Give them an urgency to witness of you, of your Holy Spirit, Father. We ask that you would just draw the pastors unto you, Father. Lord, give them the reality check that they need to be in the ministry for the gospel, not for themselves, not to have their own agenda, but to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, draw mankind, draw our leaders. Keep your hand with them, Father. Draw them to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. I worship you this morning. And in the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I want to just mention as we're closing out this time that you do have a track that addresses the end time, republishing. I see a note here, Last News. Can you just give us a snippet? What's Last News?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, this is exciting. The Last News is a 4-page tabloid. It actually it was originally on newsprint. We printed it years ago. We printed millions of these. This Last News talks about it as if it was the day after Jesus Christ returned. And the headline reads, Christ Returns, Millions Missing Around the World. And it goes through these 4 pages with different captions of what either has happened in real newspaper articles or we expect will happen after the church is called away. Talks about atheists planning a revival. The Bible word search proves that the world is going was warned about Jesus coming again. Brother Johnson, this little paper tabloid was so powerful that we had people calling the office crying, thinking that they had missed the rapture, missed the calling of the church, because this newspaper carries the anointing of God. It was out of print, been out of print for 40 years, and over the last 6 months, we've had multiple people call and ask us to put it back in print because they remember what a witnessing tool it was. The world is in such a turmoil. There's so much hatred, so much fear. People are afraid, doing crazy things, killing family members. God is, we're going home soon. And this tool, The Last News, is, I think, a tool that can be used in a street ministry, any place. And we're excited. We've been working on it for about a month to get back into a format that is now available. The newspaper, newsprint is not available anymore unless we get it overseas. So we're kind of having to reformat it. But we're excited for this renewing of the seed of ministry for Jesus Christ. The Last News talks about Jesus coming.
Well, that's something that a lot of people may be interested in going right online. And again, you can go to gospeltractsociety.org, and there you'll be able to see all that is available. And it's an amazing thing that today this is still available free to those who have a heart to sow the seed. So thank you so much, Philip, for being with us today. And thank you for continuing the great work of the Gospel Tract Society.
Thank you. It's my blessing. God bless and keep you.
All right. God bless. We'll talk to you sometime soon.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye. We'll be right back. This is Wednesday Live.
For your soul.
right, and we are back, and so glad that you're joining us today on WCNO, and this is Wednesday Live. I have our dear friends Tim and Maria Widrow who are with us, and we are starting today. If you're on the 21-day fast with the Widrows, you're starting today. So welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Yes. Great to have you all on air with us this morning. We want to encourage our family to start this year pursuing God, and what a great way to do it. And so welcome. Where are we? I know today is day one with your schedule.
Yes, today is day one, and we're going through the 27th of January. So that's 21 full days, just like Daniel the prophet.
And sometimes people do more, but...
All right, so I know you have a number of people that you're aware of that are linked up with you. I know you have several hundred that are participating. There perhaps may be thousands that are participating around the world, because many have ended up with books and some are doing it maybe a little different way. But from your perspective, preparation, what did you do to get ready for today?
I'm going to have Maria answer that, because she's the one that wrote the book about her preparation and so on. So, Maria, could you answer that for us?
Yes, I do. So before you start the Daniel phase, it's good to prepare. So yesterday we went to the store, and we have a local store here that you can buy your produce and your fruits and vegetables. Eating us, so we went there. So I personally believe strongly that if you have to prepare, you have to prepare in order to don't be tempted, because when we are tempted, we have a difficulty to complete the fast the way it's we initially intend to. So what we did, I buy all the fruits that I like, or for first week. Then I buy all the veggie, like a tomato, cucumbers, celery, salt, all this veggie. Because then you have seeds and nuts, and I have beans, like lentils, barley, all these pulses that you can prepare, like grains. And then I make a little, like a chili bag, like I have in a car, that you can have a little nuts and little apple in a case. If you're hungry, you can eat something. So that's the preparation. Preparation is your body before the fast, and then you during the fast. And you have also spiritual preparation that also we're going to prepare for. Prepare your spirit spiritually, which means everything that you like to address during the fast. You sit and pray and ask God, what I need to do and during my spiritual fasting, what I'm praying for. Last time we talked about focused prayer, and also today maybe you're going to think about what is your struggles, overwhelming feeling of emotional discouragement or fears or some things that you're dealing with, or you probably are looking for making room for another person, or you like somehow you're looking for a relative's issue, or son and daughters to come, prodigal son to come back. Anything that you struggle, or it's in your mind, or help, or you want to overcome. So you have to submit it to God, and God is going to let you know what you have to do during the fast. So also you have to set up your clear vision for the fast. Why I'm fasting? With who I'm fasting with? So you have to have a partner. It's good to have a partner, because the partner is so great to have a partner who has accountability and commitment to the partner. And then you establish a prayer time together. And if you join a church, please please go to the church and go talk to your pastor what he has store for you, because maybe he has some ideas that you can enrich your journey of 21 days. And so now we're going to talk about the Daniel Fast. What is Daniel Fast, basically? The Daniel Fast is like a fasting in the sense of abstain of certain food. That's why we call it partial fast, because it's not full fast. It's not like a water fast or a fast that you don't eat at all. And the Bible, that's the only fast, partial fast, is mentioned, Daniel fast. And mentioned in chapter 10 of Daniel, and the Daniel say that he's going to abstain from certain food. Abstain mean don't eat, which kind of a giving an impression is it's a partial fast. I eat something, but not everything.
There you go. Specifically, the king's rich foods, right? I mean, that was a real clear statement. Did not want to defile himself.
He mentioned about not to eat the rich food, and then he kind of added, "I'm going to eat fruit, vegetables, seeds, nuts, and pulses."
So fruit and nuts. We know what that is. What are pulses and?
Is anything that has a seed.
Okay.
Seed. Growing seeds. It's like, for example, lentils. Lentils are pulses.
Okay. Lentils. Lentils are pulses. Okay.
Yeah, lentil is a part of the pulses. Barley can be also used, because they used to have a barley soup, or if you make a barley leaf mushroom soup, you can do that too. That's the pulses. And that's basically, it's a very, very easy type of partial fast that I think the most people can do it. And that's why it's in the Bible. Otherwise, we're gonna have to do 40 days. Divine fast is called absolute fast with no food, or 3 days, or 7 days, or 1 day. So for 24 hours to 40 days, we have absolute fast.
So if someone is just beginning, maybe they've never fasted before, is this something that a first-time spiritual journey would work for a 21 days?
That's going to be perfect for anybody who has like a medical issue, or they have to eat in a certain amount of time in order to take their medications, or anybody who likes to try a longer period of time, because inside a 21-day fast, you can insert 24 hours fast of water, or 1 day, or 3 days.
Like a full fast. You could mix some full fast days in.
You can also insert in the morning only water fast, 1 meal water fast, and the second and the third meal you can put Daniel fast.
Okay.
It's very like kind of a customized fast.
And I have found with my doctors, when I've talked to doctors about it, that many doctors are familiar to some degree with basically a Daniel fast, and don't hesitate to talk to your doctor if you're taking different medications and such forth. Talk to them about it. There's not a problem doing that, for sure. And it's a good witness.
That's the perfect witness, because when you start feeling like Daniel, better than everybody else, physically, I mean, you know how he did it, a 10-day fast.
Yes.
10 days. So you go, people's going to start looking at you, and they're going to ask you, what have you done?
And why are you doing it, right? why are you doing it? Right.
Yeah, and that's the perfect opportunity to tell somebody about our great God.
Well, you know, back in the day, really my part of my initial fast, I'd already scheduled, planned to fast back several years ago. We've been doing this as a church for a number of years, but I believe it was the first year that we'd planned to do the fast. When I went in for a medical exam, my blood pressure was very high. And I remember talking with the doctor. The doctor said, you know, are you interested in taking medication? And so I said, well, actually, I'm getting ready to go on a Daniel fast. And I was able to talk with him. He was curious, wanted to know what that was about. And he said, well, why don't you just do that? And then we'll check in 30 days and see how you're doing. And it ended up that I did not have to go on to medication at that time simply because of the health benefits. And that, of course, we're fasting for a spiritual season of pursuing God, but there are physical benefits to looking at our overall health and diet and putting that in God's hands as we start the year.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We have to put it in God's hands, and anybody who tries, even the smallest amount of fasting, let's say we want to do, some people say, I don't want to do Daniel fast three meals a day. I want to do it only one time. It's okay to do it, but the whole idea is God is going to make, you're going to expect a miracle. You is setting yourself for a total transformation.
Amen.
Because you apply faith. Every time when you have a faith is an action.
And so you have that prayer target, you have that faith target, and you are moving toward that every meal that you fast or and throughout the day. There is, and I know I'm talking to Maria, you and Tim both, but I find that there is an increased awareness of God's presence as I seek him this way in my life.
Exactly. If you want to experience God present in the next level, God say, seek to the Lord while may be found, and call him where near is near. And he's going to draw near to him, and he's going to draw near to you. So basically, it's act of action. God, I need you. I want you. And I'm doing everything possible to deny my nature, to deny my, like, be hungry for God. You have to be hungry for God.
That's part of the blessings, isn't it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so that is, that's a biblical truth, a biblical promise, and it's a biblical invitation, isn't it?
Yes, it's a... that's how does it work. It's a very interesting, because if you, let's say you have a friend that you haven't talked to that friend for years, but next things you do, it's calling them, picking the phone and call that friend. And all of a sudden you have such a beautiful, amazing conversation with that friend. But in order, and you become so blessed, and if your friend becomes so blessed with your presence that in your action that you decide to talk to that person. The same way, God is the same way. He's not going to force on us. He's just going to be so gentle while we can be able to give him a call. And that call is called 1-800-PRAYER-INFEST.
There you go. Now, how can people gain access to your book? This is a great guide. You have also a cookbook. And in fact, I believe I do have a copy of the Daniel Fast available as a gift courtesy of Maria, you and your husband, Tim. And so if someone would like for us to send you a copy as a guide, we can get it out to you right away. And you can call the office. That's 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. But how can people go online and get their own book directly?
Well, there are several resources online at our website, which is danielfast.org. no spaces, just danielfast.org. And there you'll find all of the Daniel Fast.